Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, improvisers. In today's episode, we're heading into the world of mystery, comedy, and improv with Synergy Theater's take on Clue, opening at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, California on April 16th, 2026. I sat down with Griffin, the show's director, and Lily, a member of the performing cast, to talk about bringing this classic whodunit to life. I also caught up separately with my co-host Val, Griffin's mom and Synergy's videographer, and Jeremiah from the Lesher Center for some behind-the-scenes insights. Along the way, we uncover one of the strangest lost and found stories I've ever heard. Trust me, you're going to want to stick around for that reveal. And make sure you listen all the way through the credits, because there's a little bonus audio waiting for you at the end. Okay, on to the interviews. Okay, Val, I'm so sorry that you weren't able to join the interview with Griffin and Lily. We did have a good time, but we did miss you. Now the next show is Improvised Clue from the board game Clue. And I would like to know, are you more familiar with the board game or the movie?
Definitely the movie, because I have to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever played the board game.
What do you remember about the movie?
If it's the one from the 80s, it was kind of hokey. It wasn't suspenseful. It was more like a comedy that had murder, but it was amusing. Just like, okay, a house full of people and the lights go off and then the lights come back on and someone's dead. Sure, that's interesting. Who killed him? So I'm not sure how Griffin's going to produce this one for Synergy. And I am bummed that I didn't get to ask him questions about it.
Well, Griffin did bring your questions up. Do you remember your questions? Let me see.
My mom, Val Jord, who couldn't make it today because she got caught up with work, she did send in some questions she was hoping we could answer. Her first one was, what's your inspiration from the original Clue film? When I was envisioning the show, I was definitely thinking more about the film that came out in the 80s than the game. But they go hand in hand. And I've always liked the game. And actually, there was a performance going on in the Lesher Center a few years ago of Clue, the stage production, at the same time that we were doing one of our shows. I would go in, there's like a kitchen area in the back, and there's three screens up there, and you could see a live video feed of each of the stages. I'd go sit there and like eat before a show sometimes, and I'd look up at the screen and I could see them rehearsing or just the set. And I think everything about the show leads into a Synergy show. My first show was Sherlock Holmes, improvised Sherlock Holmes, and that was a mystery show. I think people really like the mystery genre when it comes to improv, us as performers and the audience. We did Sherlock Holmes and then we did Agatha Christie a few years ago, and that was super popular. I think Clue having that mystery element was so fun and built on what we'd done before. I love all the vibrant costumes and characters involved.
Lily, I would like to hear a little bit about your mysterious background and how you found Synergy Theater, and end with something you think that Griffin does not know about you.
I started taking improv classes with Ken in Walnut Creek. I just wanted to do something with my free time. I think it was like under the theater drama section, which, by the way, Walnut Creek has such a robust arts and recreation program. The people running that program, they're doing amazing work. They have so many art classes, which was so fascinating to me for adults, which is hard to find in general, I think.
Well, given all of those choices that you had, all very enticing, why improv?
Again, it was under like drama or theater, and I had never taken anything like that. So I was like, oh, okay. And it's like really low barrier to entry. I was like, cool, I can just show up, right? So that was part of it. I thought it was really fun. I started meeting some cool people around here. And I kept taking them. I took like another one soon after, and then I took another one, and then I think I took another one. If my friends were like, hey, are you taking the next one? I'd be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm down. And then I signed up for the masterclass with a few of my friends. By the end of the masterclass, Ken was like, hey, are you interested in being in one of the performances with Synergy? And I'm in this phase in my life where I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'll do whatever. I just said yes. Also, by the way, Ken is super cool and so encouraging as someone who's teaching things to other folks. So go Ken. I ended up at rehearsals with Synergy Theater for Stephen King. And I can't remember what else you asked as part of your question.
Sure.
I feel like I just...
What is something that you think that Griffin doesn't know about you?
What? Okay. You should have maybe sent me this question beforehand and then like make up. No,
oh,
I know.
Stop it. Well, this is improv in practice with Synergy Theater.
I'm obsessed with birds. I'm obsessed with them.
Okay.
I can identify birds by like their sound pretty decently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm a bird fanatic.
I did not know that.
Does Val have another question for you?
Yeah, her second one can apply to both of us. I might have an inclination of what you'll say, Lily. Her question is, do you have a spirit animal?
Yeah, no, that was a great question. And at the time, it fit right in with what we had been.
Oh.
Were
you able
had
to
been,
incorporate that?
Oh, yeah. I think that you'll really enjoy the answers.
That's so funny. What's your inclination? A bird? I don't know if I would say a bird, a spirit animal, a cat, like a house cat, a domestic short hair cat.
Okay. I find this fascinating because you are a bird enthusiast and your spirit animal is their known
mortal
and sworn enemy.
You turned into a cat during Stephen King.
I definitely went into cat territory. And then at some point I was like, this is,
you
can't just act
murdered
like a cat,
me
right?
As a tiger or something.
Well, you know what's so funny? I remember about that is that I kind of blacked out when we were waiting for the suggestion from the audience. And I think I attacked maybe Elise first. And you like jumped in. And then I was like, oh, I was supposed to kill you. So I think I killed both of you. But yes, I did turn into a cat, a demon cat. But you know how cats are when they're like, don't pet me? They like come to you and then they bite you and like swat you. That's very accurate of who I am on the inside.
What do you think, Griffin? Well, hey, Lily, I'm interested. If you could pick an animal that would be a spirit animal for Griffin, what would you pick?
I don't know. Griffin, please help me because I have no idea.
Now I'm trying to remember what Griffin and Lily said, what their spirit animals were.
Okay.
And I kind of remember. I will say this, for some reason at that moment, I was like, oh, Griffin, I know what your spirit animal is. You know the Lion King and you know the character of Rafiki from the Lion King?
What was that character? Was that the baboon?
The first thing that comes to my head is like, you guys remember Rafiki from the Lion King?
Mm-hmm.
Which one's Rafiki? Is it the little like mongoose?
The thing? Baboon.
The baboon. Why is that?
Because he has all the knowledge, but he's also kind of kooky. He has the staff too, right? That he likes to wave around and sometimes bop people on the head when they need it. I don't know, Griffin.
Griffin, how do you feel about that?
You told him that? What did he say?
You know Griffin. He's very polite.
It's flattering. It's a wonderful character. It's not the one that I had in mind, but I could think about that for channeling a baboon in future performances. I played one in Thanksgiving Unscripted. I turned into a baboon.
Wow.
We turn into a lot of animals in our shows for some reason. I drink baboon embryos, so obviously I had to turn into a baboon.
Obviously. Clearly, that's what you do.
But anyway, I was thinking more as what I would try to channel in a performance is a chameleon.
A chameleon with really, really good hair.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think, well, one thing, chameleons are pretty chill. And I feel like usually as a person, I'm pretty chill. If you see me off stage versus on stage, I think you'll get a very different impression of me and my energy level. But another thing about chameleons, the changing color thing, I really love just sinking my teeth into a character in a show and really disappearing into a character. I feel like that's something I strive for as a performer, and any actor would, to make Griffin disappear and the character of Baboon Boy or guy who gets killed by a demon cat come to life.
I honestly don't know what he would have said about his spirit animal. That's not something I asked my sons.
Okay. Well, you have to listen to find out. But I will ask you this, Val. What's your spirit animal?
I feel like I'm maybe like an owl. Maybe I've said this before, talking about animals. Just an owl. Not that I'm super wise or anything, but I feel like they're quiet. They seem to be loners and they observe. I love how they can like spin their head all the way around.
So cool. But please, please don't ever do that to me. If you ever gain that ability, Val, just don't, please.
Whoop, there goes my head.
Oh, please don't do that to me. I like that question, Val, very, very much. And thank you for it because we had an interesting and funny conversation around that. Now, I also played a fun little game with Griffin and Lily because part of the whole concept of Clue includes objects that can be used as weapons. So a rope, a candlestick, a pipe, a wrench are in play in the board game. For whatever reason, that inspired me to call our friends at the Lesher Center and ask them, what are the most common objects turned into the lost and found at the Lesher Center?
What?
Welcome to my mind. And we had a great conversation, me and Kian in the ticket office. Hi, Kian. It was eye-opening. Now, you spend a lot of time as the videographer of Synergy Theater in the Lesher Center and a lot of time behind the scenes. So have you ever seen any object that's odd aside from what the set is on any of the Synergy shows? Any odd object that you've noticed?
I've definitely seen a cane, a walking cane, you know, and an umbrella. Let me see. Gloves. I think maybe I saw a pair of gloves one time.
Well, I'll ask you what I asked them.
Okay.
I have a really fun game to play with the two of you. What we're going to start with is, what do you think are the top three items found at the Lesher Center and turned into the lost and found? Lily, you first.
I love this, by the way. So three, I would say maybe glasses, eyeglasses, cell phone, and maybe car keys.
Okay, great guesses. Griffin, what do you think?
Those are some good ones. I'll go wallet. If I had to pick an accessory, maybe a hat. And for the last one, I'm trying to think what people would bring into the theater. I guess a purse.
Yeah.
All very good guesses. The most common items left are?
I would think reading glasses.
Okay, that's guess number one. What's guess number two?
Keys.
Okay. And guess number three?
Cell phone.
All right. So those are your top three guesses, that it would be keys, sunglasses, and a cell phone.
Yes.
You are two out of three. The most common items left are a hat, sunglasses, and
nice.
One of the most common items happens to be an item that was left in the Vukasin Theater where Synergy does their shows. And this was left just in January, and it was keys. Other items that have been left recently, umbrellas. They also find jewelry.
Wow. Like earrings, I guess. They could fall off.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, when do these people notice that their keys are gone?
Like, how do they get home? How do they drive?
How do they get into their houses or cars?
That's, yeah.
And why aren't they coming back to get their keys?
That's definitely a mystery, right?
I like mysteries. I
that's
do.
A mystery, but yeah. Yes, you're right. I mean, but if I lost my key, I wouldn't have left. I would have been.
How would you have?
Crawling through the theater looking for it.
Yes. Or maybe asking our friend Kean at the ticket office if anyone turned in.
That's
a
such
set
a
of
great
keys.
Question.
It is good.
How fun.
I am good. Okay. It gets better. I also asked Kean, what is the most odd item in the lost and found? And I can give you some hints. But while you think on that, I actually want to ask you, Val, because I really like mysteries, always have. Huge fan of Sherlock Holmes. I mean, who isn't? But really, yes. But really, for me, it was like, I want to grow up and become Sherlock Holmes. Other people were like, I want to grow up and be this and that. Nope. For me, it was Sherlock Holmes.
So good.
So, okay, the oddest item that has ever been found, I'm going to give you guys some clues, and then you're going to give me your guesses. So this item is not that big. This item would be a little bit shorter than the length of your forearm. This item is mostly used outdoors and not indoors. This item would be used by outdoor enthusiasts. The color scheme would be gray, brown, and green. Is any image forming in your mind?
I have a couple guesses.
You may ask me each three questions.
Do we only have one guess at the end?
Sure. And then the two of you can come up with your guess at the end. You may ask me three yes or no questions.
Okay. And then just to clarify, this was an item that was the weirdest item that was left there?
Yeah.
Okay.
The most odd or unexpected.
Can I ask my questions?
Please.
Does it have a lens?
No.
I was thinking like binoculars. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking of a monocular of some kind. A monocular. Yeah, it's a one. Instead of having both eyes, you can do one. And you can set it up like on a tripod and birding, by the way.
Right.
Does it help people with mobility outside?
No.
Shoot. Okay. I was thinking of like one of those walking sticks like people use on the trails. I get one more question. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, shoot. Do you have any questions, Griffin? I need to make this one count.
Is it made out of wood generally?
It can be, yes.
Would this generally be used by like hardcore hikers and campers as opposed to the common person?
Good one.
I'm going to say yes. You both each have one question left. I would advise that you confer and confirm what you do know.
I don't know anything about this.
What have I told you so far?
So it's something that you use like for outdoorsy activities.
Not longer than your forearm.
Right. And it's green, brown, gray?
Or mm-hmm. gray. It's or not gray. All of those. It can be okay. One of those.
It can be one, but is most likely all.
Green, brown, and gray.
Do you wear
and it's
it?
Sometimes made of wood.
Oh, okay. Sorry. This is my last question. Can you wear it?
No.
Okay. Could I use this object as a weapon to defend myself?
Yes, anything can be. But I will give you a clue that I should not give you, and that is it could be used as a decoy.
Okay. Then, Lily, can we confirm or confer?
Okay.
It sounds like it's like a fake mallard, like a duck.
Yeah, like a decoy duck.
You got
yeah,
it.
For a hunter.
I guess she gave it. Why was somebody carrying around a decoy duck inside the leisure? Actually, I want to meet this person. Whoever's out there who took a decoy duck to the leisure center to see a show, call me. Who are you?
It's amazing, isn't it?
I love that.
Yep. It was a plastic decoy duck. It was lost at the beginning of January.
So nobody picked it up?
This is recent.
Nobody picked it up? It's still there?
Yeah, can we go get it?
Yeah, I want it.
Go and talk to our new friend, Kian.
Okay, Kian.
At the ticket office. They're very nice.
I'm going to go up and I'm going to
say,
Kian,
I'm coming for you.
I lost my hat. I lost my glasses. I lost my keys. And I lost my...
my decoy duck. We're coming for the duck.
Okay, you ready? Are you sure?
I am. I know I'm going to groan about it because I should have guessed. But
oh, yeah. You totally should have guessed this. Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
The plastic decoy duck.
No.
Yes.
No. Somebody. No.
I am not known for making things up, Val.
That's insane. Who brings a decoy to the...
I know. You're going to go to bed tonight thinking about this.
I'm already there. I'm already thinking. Who brought it? No, that is wild.
It is. I love life.
That's such a good question, though.
It is. Really is. I was not expecting that.
Oh my gosh, that is so bizarre. I love it. Lost and founds are so fascinating. I yeah. love that. It makes me want to call every place and ask them.
I know. And then
what's in your lost and found?
Oh, they had at the leisure, their list was long and it went back at least months. I'll
What do
say.
you mean a list? They didn't just have a bucket of items.
Oh, no, no, they cataloged every single one. So it was very easy for Kian to pull up the list and be like, let's see here, by date. And yeah, they're on it
I had
at the
no
leisure.
idea. God, Sarah, that is so fascinating. And
I also asked Kian if he knew anyone there that would have, because we talked about the Stephen King run of shows as well. If he had experienced anything supernatural at the Lesher, or if coworkers had ever talked about it. The Lesher Center is a couple decades old and has had many odd personalities come through there as far as people in the entertainment industry go. But Kian was like, no, don't got anything. I sent an email to Jeremiah. He works at the ticket office. He is, I think, their longest employee. Wouldn't you love to know that there's some sort of odd or unexplained happening at the Lesher behind the scenes, you know, at night when no one's there? Is that where you are now?
Yeah, I'm at the Lesher. I'm in the ticket office call center today. It's popping right now. We just had an event end. So
thank you for taking the time to meet with me.
Of course.
And can we talk about the plastic decoy duck? I would like your insights.
We keep a nice, robust list of items lost or claimed to be lost and not yet found. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a big list. We usually go back 6 months, but I've not researched it.
It is the topic of some debate for those who are in the know. Is there a statute of limitations as far as how long you will house a lost and found item?
It is 6 months.
And then what happens?
And then it goes to Goodwill.
Okay. Well, Synergy Theater is a nonprofit.
Check.
I'm just going to put that out there. So I emailed you a while ago. I was wondering if, as someone who has worked at the Lesher for 15 years, if you knew of any mysterious happenings, unsolved mysteries, in addition to the catalog of missing items.
So the stain in the ticket office, in the back ticket office, actually right where I'm sitting, there is a stain that appears and disappears. It is varying sizes. It's as small as a cantaloupe, as large as a semi-wheel. The carpet just gets darker and then it disappears. And it's happened ever since the carpet was changed back in 2013. It's random. Yeah.
I can't decide if that is either so Shakespearean or so Stephen King.
I would prefer it Stephen King. For
Stephen
sure.
King? Did you see any of the Stephen King shows?
No, I'm so upset. I love Stephen King and I love Synergy Theater and just a combo.
Maybe they'll do that one again.
Yeah.
But upcoming, they do have improvised Shakespeare.
Yeah, I've seen before, but it's different every time. So.
It's different every time. It's a different show every night. Are you going to see improvised Clue?
Certainly a plan. I love Clue so much. My family is certainly a board game family. My sister and I grew up loving board games at my grandma's house. And that's where we first played Clue. You know, I was obsessed with Colonel Mustard. I loved the color yellow. That's probably where it came from. Who knows? And just the guessing, like, you know, it falls in line with Guess Who and all of that. And just trying to deduct and figure it out. And that always speaks to my suspicious heart.
I am inspired to go out and find a Clue board game and then schedule another meeting with you on your calendar. And I'll just show up at your office with the board game. We'll just play.
That during sounds amazing.
During our meeting.
I love it.
Each of the directors, so this time with Improvised Clue, it's Griffin. They each have their own style of how they will direct their fellow performers. Mm-hmm. Griffin's style is similar to many others in that he will come to the group with an outline of, okay, this is the concept and this is how I would like to make it come to life. But other than that, it is unscripted. It is
amazing.
Improvisation. They have a structure that they follow. It's a structure that is in Ken's book, How to Improvise a Full-Length Play. And they are so practiced at this structure that they now have that as their playground structure, right? But everything else inside that is totally not random, but inspired in the moment. And then, of course, they wrap in the and ask for the audience suggestions, which I don't know yet, but I'm very interested to see how Griffin will wrap that in to the improvised Clue show. Yeah. Griffin will be, spoilers, Griffin will be playing the role of the butler, which is done so well by Tim Curry.
Yes, agreed.
Do you remember the movie?
I sure do. I'm kind of excited to see it because I am obsessed with the movie. And obviously the board game factor in our family really speaks to my heart. I'm just so curious, like what games you're going to play to figure out who done it and like how that's decided. It's always fun to be a part of the games and how unique they are. I just love living in the moment of it. You know, the last show I saw was Hitchcock. Absolutely amazing. The acting is just incredible, how it sets the scene and sets the vibe and everyone gets it. It's not, there's no outliers. Everyone's inside the scene. Mm-hmm. It's just such a delight.
I don't know if you remember Adventure Serial, which was Griffin's other show. They had like a ramp and they were doing like stunts off the ramp. I was convinced that they were going to injure themselves. But that was an incredibly physical show, and Griffin had designed it as such. Again, it's fantastic to speak with you, Jeremiah. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I have one last question.
Yes, I love questions.
I'm curious, because this is how my mind works. Sometimes at the top of a show, the audience helps pick who will play what.
Mm.
Are there some sort of like known rewards or bets?
I've wondered that too, Jeremiah, because I'm wondering if there are certain cast members that will wear certain colors or certain outfits or present themselves in a body language kind of way when they're in the pit, right? Right. Of the Vukasin Theater. And that question is asked. The audience is given some scenario and then the audience can choose which person is going to fit this scenario. And essentially, who do you want to see on stage right now?
Mm-hmm.
And the audience will pick. And sometimes I have fun. I don't make any selections because I want to hear what somebody else is going to choose. But I make bets with myself. I'm like, oh, I wonder if they're going to choose Elise because she has the red dress on. Or I wonder. And then I'm continually surprised, honestly.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
As far as like what the audience chooses. Thank you again so much for your time, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
I will absolutely come and say hi next time I am in the ticket center there. In the little lobby where there's
the little box.
Vukasin theaters right there. Thank you again so much.
Oh my gosh, this was so fun. I'm glad to do it.
Lily, how has your experience been in rehearsals for this one? And how does your experience differ from your experience with Stephen King and those rehearsals?
I've been having so much fun. It gets so chaotic in a good way, like all the characters interacting with each other gets so chaotic. And I feel like I'm just like cracking up the whole time, which is really fun.
I think we did a scene on Thursday, the two of us, where I think a little Stephen King slipped in there.
No, yeah, I was like mortified. I was like, where did I just go with that?
In the film, all of the characters are being blackmailed. So I wanted to ask the audience, why are they being blackmailed? And Eileen gave the suggestion. She was saying, stealing children's. And then she was thinking of what item. And then we just went with stealing children's, like kidnapping. So that was the suggestion for Lily. We do open rehearsals often. We didn't do them for Stephen King, so you didn't get to experience it yet, Lily. But we often will bring in people to watch a performance and give feedback. And the feedback is always very strongly that people love giving suggestions. So this is a show where I wanted to heavily involve audience suggestions and get them throughout. One of them are for the characters. So I'm going to get character suggestions from the audience based on the outfits. Also, throughout the show, characters are going to die and the audience will get to vote who dies next.
I hope they have an open rehearsal. They didn't have time to do one for Stephen King, but there's a lot more rehearsal time now for Clue. And I'd like to get pictures of them in their costume because I do a table display.
I love your table displays.
Yeah, because no one ever did one before. Ken would put postcards out in the donation box, and that's pretty much it. I saw an opportunity there to decorate the table, do a tablescape. And then I found an easel one day, and I put a poster on there. Those are my little contributions.
Well, it makes a big difference, I know, especially as people are leaving after the show.
Yeah, I noticed during intermission, they'll stop and read. That gives me so much joy. Anything I can do to help towards the show, besides performing, I will never perform. I will do everything short of that. I will video, I'll photo, I'll decorate the tables, I'll move furniture, but I'm not a performer.
Well, I'm never going to give up on being in a class with you someday, Val.
I think that would be so fun.
So going back to you, Griffin, and the origins of this idea, what concerns did you have at the outset? Obviously, this is a great idea. It's a well-known item to base your idea off of. What gave you pause, if anything, in tackling this?
I think I felt very confident about this show coming out the gate. In the past, when I directed Adventure Serial, I did it online first, and then one day Ken called me and said, "What do you think about doing this on stage?" And I thought of a million reasons why it wouldn't work. But this one, it's already a stage play. The movie was adapted into a play, so it already really has the bones to be theater. It's set in one location. We get to wear the vibrant outfits. If I had any concerns, it might just be what people's expectations were coming into it, because the film is very famous for having three distinct endings. You'd go to the theater and you'd get one of those three endings. It was kind of a gimmick.
It depended on what theater you went to see the movie. You didn't know
That's
which
so cool.
Yeah, you didn't know which of the three was there until you actually saw it.
On the home video release, they just put all three endings back to back to back so you can see all of them. I think people might be coming in wondering if we're going to do that. But the thing is, every show is different anyway. It's improvised.
Right.
So
yeah.
You're always going to see a different ending every night if you come to all eight shows.
Are you going to have people play the set characters? If you have them off the top of your head, feel free.
Miss Scarlet, Colonel Mustard,
yep.
Mr. Green,
Professor Plum.
Professor Plum, Miss Peacock, Mrs. White.
Those characters to be are all very strong in what they represent. So for example, Colonel Mustard, he's like the guy with all the bluster. He's like the authority, but he's really full of a lot of hot air. We have Miss Scarlet, who's more of like a femme fatale. And then we have Professor Plum, who he's very professor-like. So are you going to have people play true to form in that respect?
We will not. So we will have color coordinated outfits, but we'll be playing original characters.
Yeah, I know everybody's so great and they have fun, and talking to so many people over the years, especially you may have noticed that Tony, one of his students in the advanced class, he comes in costume. He and his fiance and their friends, they all dressed up for Stephen King. They all dressed as a character from The Shining. It was so good. Tony was dressed like one of the little twin girls. For Hitchcock, he dressed like the mother from Psycho. He dresses like women and it creeps me out. And he does such a great job doing
Okay,
it.
Okay, I gotta meet this guy.
He's a super fan. He went to four of the Stephen Kings and he wanted to go to all of them. Now he said he's going to go to all of Clue. He's an advanced student, and he said he found Ken during Zeus for Zombie a couple of years ago, and now he's a true fan. He's a lifer.
A lifer like you and me.
Yeah, but now he brings like seven friends of his, so we'll take it. We appreciate that. Anyone listening, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming to these synergy shows.
Yes, each and every person who attends makes
Yes.
a difference, not just for their support of Synergy Theater in the ticket price, but by being there and contributing their energy to
oh,
the
yes.
audience, their suggestions. It's
all of it.
All of it. That's what makes Synergy Theater work.
Every show, we have to create an hour and a half long show with a narrative, beginning, middle, and end. And I think that's really daunting to think about, to improvise it that way. But if you break it down into just each scene, then getting a suggestion at the top of the scene can just influence that scene. And we can use everything that came before, like our characterizations and the situation, to influence the scene. But like our past rehearsal, I just get a suggestion for why was this person being blackmailed? And the audience would give it. We have the context for the scene, and that really builds out the characters. And it can definitely impact the wider show, but I don't think that it overcomplicates it. It gives us more fuel and it can be important to the relationship between the characters. And ultimately, it could come into play much later on, like a Chekhov's gun situation, or it could just be a fun thing that happens in that scene and it brings characters together or tears them apart.
And Lily, how do you view audience suggestions? Do you view them as challenges or do you view them as fuel?
Fuel, which I think is a really cool way to phrase it, because you can have maybe an idea of where you're trying to go with it. I tend to not really have any idea. I have no plan, no idea where I'm going with it. I'm moment to moment making choices. So getting something insane that is so off from what you might come up with your own brain, it's always so much more fun to get something that someone else throws at you and then it sets you off into like a different path. And I love having fun with like that chaos that it creates.
During Stephen King, there were some audience suggestions which felt like getting sucker punched in the face.
Oh.
Not because they're bad, but just because we hadn't experienced them during the rehearsal process. And we're really so kind to each other in the rehearsal process because we give ourselves the suggestions. So we're always thinking like, what would be the best for the storytelling? And the audience isn't thinking that way usually. I think they're just thinking, what would be funny? So when we actually do the show, and this time we didn't have an open rehearsal to experience that, there's some audience suggestions at the top of the show that in my mind at the time, I was like, oh my gosh, where are we going for the rest of the show? Because we're just at the beginning and now we have to factor in this huge shift. One in particular that came out was like 10 minutes into the show, an audience member said that Elise was literally a horse.
Oh, that's right. That was like one of the first ones.
Our opening show. And I was like, I could feel it on us. Like we tried not to show up. We're like, okay, she's a horse. We have to do the whole show where she's a horse.
I love those moments though. You guys are so professional and so practiced at this time. I feel like there are a few suggestions that truly give you pause. I love those moments where you get one that is truly unexpected. And then the whole cast, you can watch this wave of realization wash over them. And it's wonderful because then I know, all right, the game is afoot. Here we go. Here's a good analogy. The audience is giving you guys unexpected ingredients, right? As though you were all chefs. And Synergy Theater at the end always delivers a delicious meal.
Oh, it's like Chopped.
Do either of the two of you have any personal unsolved mysteries?
Oh, geez.
Or is there a mystery that comes to the front of your mind when I say, if you could solve any mystery, what mystery would you solve?
You know the weird story of like people who used to dance themselves to the point of exhaustion and death? Isn't that like a thing? Like in medieval times, they'd have dance parties and they wouldn't stop dancing and they'd like drop dead. Why is that? And why don't we do that anymore?
I have one mystery that's been just sticking with me. And it's back to that wooden duck. Where did it come from? Why was it left?
Well, you guys are awesome. And Improvised Clue is going to open very soon. And Griffin, what do you hope the audience takes away from their experience in seeing Improvised Clue? Griffin, and then please, Lily.
Any show that we do, I want the audience to take away, especially if this is their first Synergy show, their first time seeing an improvised play, is that what we put on felt like a play. Like if you had come and seen this and didn't know it was improvised, that it would be extremely satisfying in terms of the story and the production value and the acting. So I always want the audience to feel like that and get an elevated sense from our productions. Particularly from Clue, my best hope is that they laugh a lot and that they enjoy how much fun that we're having. And it just inspires them to want to keep seeing live theater, do their own fun improv things, and enjoy acting and improv and having fun with other people in society.
I wonder if the lesher would let you guys borrow the plastic decoy duck to have on set. And Lily, what do you hope that the audience takes away from Synergy Theater's portrayal and delivery of Improvised Clue?
I really hope that the audience just has fun. I personally am having a lot of fun when I'm up there. Part of the fun of going to go see a show and like going to a theater, or just like anything, is the memories that are tied around going there, what you do after, creating this good experience about that day and the show. And then I had friends who came to the last Stephen King show and they had never seen an improv show. They'd never seen improv theater. And when we went to have dinner afterwards, they were like, oh my God, that was so much fun. Like that was bananas, crazy, impressive. And they were like huge fans of the Clue movie and they're super looking forward to watching one of the Clue shows. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I told my coworkers and four coworkers came to Stephen King and then they started asking me, when's Clue coming?
Excellent. Yeah, I brought a friend and they liked it so
Yay.
Much. I'm going to bring him to the Clue as well. I brought them to Stephen King.
Yes, yes. So we're doing it. They're coming back and they're doing another Dungeons and Dragons.
I love, love, love that they have kept it going. Like it's not just one run. I hope that they continue to do it. I mean, if they're selling out.
Why not? Yeah, there's such a demand for it. It's such a sleeper hit. And children, adults, everyone in between, they love it.
Yes,
So
I like the huge inflated die that you get to roll.
The 20-sided die.
Yes.
I love videoing and seeing people throw it in other people's heads. That happens.
Yep,
sometimes.
It's inflatable though.
Someone has passed out, but still, it's such a fun show.
It really is.
If they can do maybe four encores a year, squeeze it in between all their other shows.
Why not?
That's what's bringing younger and younger people, the next generation of theater goers.
Oh my gosh, yes. Val, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. This will be another great show. I love the concept. I'm really looking forward to seeing Improvised Clue on stage.
I will see you at the theater. Thank you so much for talking with me.
See you at the theater.
See you then. Bye.
Bye. I will see you both there very soon for Improvised Clue. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, bye.
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 And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you. And no, they didn't ask me, which is fine, because a while ago, years ago, I was in school. I read this book about, it's like this classic literature book, right? Everybody has to read. About a man who wakes up in the morning and he's a beetle.
Oh.
He wakes up and he is a man-sized beetle.
A man-sized beetle. I never read that book.
So ever since then, I'm ruined for that question, because if we actually did turn into our actual spirit animal, I think all of us would probably be surprised at what we had as a spirit animal or were most like. Yeah. So of course, I'm not going to pick what I would prefer, because now I now know, because of that book, I could wake up as a beetle.
That's so true. I'm quite sure I'd be nothing like a cool owl. I might be an earthworm or something.
We had to read it. It was assigned reading. And before I opened the book, I was thinking to myself, this is going to be so lame. This guy is a beetle. Are you kidding me? Why do I have to read this? It was very engaging. Once I understood, yes, I just remembered it was in high school, and it was either sophomore or junior year. And my teacher told everyone that she was a reincarnated cat.
Was she being serious?
Yes.
A reincarnate? How? What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, teachers.
Oh.
She was great, though. I liked her. Everybody else thought she was really odd.
Well, but you're still talking about her, so clearly she made an impact.
She did. Her face looked like a cat. I kid you not. And she assigned that reading. And she had everyone in the class up and down the rows. Okay, if you woke up as an animal, what would you wake up like?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the guy sitting next to me was like, I'd be a dog.
Just a dog.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Because I was thinking, yep, probably.
I could see your face, your
This,
young teenage face. Like,
that guy. Oh, man. One of those you stay away from and hope the best for.
I never had such a cool teacher.